Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Well, welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Basich. You can find me on X at Hashtag Kangaroos, Instagram, Hashtag Kangaroos podcast, TikTok, Hashtag Kangaroos 1. In a grand final, what can I say? I was obviously joined by Claire Cozzi, our resident AFLW guest that I have on every week. But very special day yesterday. The club getting into the first grand final since 1999. So we haven't been in the grand final since the 2000s. Only one other Melbourne club has achieved that same feat, not being in the grand final in 2000s, and that's Carlton. So, yeah, it's good to get that hurdle off the back. It was obviously a tough game. It could have gone either way, we're obviously, me and Claire, we're very joyous. And let's not waste any more of your valuable time. Don't want to hear me, see me or hear me talking shit. So let's go to Claire right now and talk about it.
Well, it's been a long time coming, and we've dreamt of this moment for a long time, but we are in the granny, Claire, by the skin of our teeth, but who cares? And we'll chat about the game soon. It's still a little overwhelming and surreal, like we talked a little bit off there, Claire. But we are here, and just over 24 hours after the game, how are you feeling?
Yeah, it's surreal still to kind of – it hasn't fully sunk in. It kind of sinks in little waves, like – I wore all my merch to work, which was great because I'm a teacher, so it was nice. All the students kind of got around me and we had words, and that was really nice. And then, just little things, little text messages and phone calls that came out throughout the day with just, everyone kind of in my close circles know how passionate I am about it. So it's incredible. And then to go on Twitter and, my timeline for the past 12 hours has just been immaculate in terms of how many North supporters have just got around this. And I think on a larger scale, Dean, I spoke about this with Sarah last week. The club has been through quite a bit, us as supporters. And I mean that not just in the last 5 years, but I mean talking about always kind of having to justify our existence to other people, to have to, we're a small club, but we're a mighty club. And I think being in a grand final, it's indescribable of what it means. And it's overwhelming. And the relief and the sheer joy that I felt when that siren went off. I actually was like, I didn't even know this until after the game. I was actually hugging Lulu Puller's grandma. We were kind of just with the last 30 seconds of the clock. She grabbed me, I grabbed her. So, football can mean so much to so many people. And I just feel so privileged and honoured to have shared everything yesterday with North supporters and then also with my dad. Very, very special. How are you feeling, Dean?
Yeah, I mean, obviously delighted that we are able to get over the line. Words are hard to describe because, you've got a lot of emotions going through you. Obviously joyous it's indescribable. I mean, it's almost we're almost one win away from winning a premiership. And we've been doing this for, probably just over a year now. And, I remember when I first started talking to you, I thought, I think we're sort of starting to rebuild a bit now. Like, I don't think we've got it in us because, I think I got you on when we sort of let go of, Ashmore and a few others like Gilroy. And I didn't think we would get to this stage so quick. I thought there would be a little bit of a rebuild and after that. But, full credit to the coaching staff and the players that have been able to, not just rebuild it, but dominate probably for the last, couple of seasons. And to finally get that elusive grand final, it's a pretty special feeling for the girls. Because like I said in previous weeks, I've built relationships with a few of them and talking to them, you want them to do well. And so that makes a big difference. And right now, Claire, I'll probably, I'm more happy that they're in a grand final than maybe the men's at the moment because of that thing.
Yeah.
So,
it's your connection, isn't it? Like, it's your connection to who's there and what makes it more special. And, you know, it was nice to see the boys. Like, I saw Jai Simpkin, I saw Nick Larkey, I saw Alistair Clarkson and Todd Viney at the ground, which is really nice and reinforces that idea of one club. But, yeah, when you build a connection and you understand these women's journeys to get there, I think it just makes it all the more special and all the more somewhat, like, you know, beautiful to have watched their journey and hopefully, ideally, get that last piece of success next Sunday. So, it's very, very exciting for the club.
No, definitely. I mean, it was a game that could have gone either way. Both teams could make a case they weren't at their best, but it was a classic final where there was nothing in it, and it took some special players and plays to get us over the line in the end. You know, the Emma King tackle at the end, to seal the game. The Resolute defence, who were under pressure for a couple of quarters and just repelled everything. Jenna Bruton, probably best on ground, in particular in that third quarter when the Crows were getting on top. Tali Randall taking some big marks. It really was nice to get on the end of it after probably letting it slip a few weeks ago in Adelaide. So it was nice to it went the other way this time, and no better time than a prelim final, Claire.
Yeah, look, when Hatchard took that absolute hanger, which all credit to her, incredible mark in that, I think it was like maybe 3:07 on the clock, and then she dribbles it in, smart by her to waste no time. I thought, A, it was very Tony Modra-esque, but B, I've seen this film before. I can't watch this again. I thought it's happened with Neve Martin up at Norwood Oval. I don't know if you cast your mind back, and I'm going to offer a trigger warning, but remember when Petrenko ran into that open goal at Marvel?
I just
thought it's going to happen again. There's nothing sure of it. And I turned to my dad and we both looked and we gave that knowing kind of trauma look. And he sort of just turned to me and said, "Just you got to believe." And I think that's, in the most simplistic terms, you know, how can you not be a little bit romantic about football? And sometimes we look at data and stats and all these things, but I think what it came down to is just the belief in the group that, despite that little blow and despite the risk, that they had the belief and they saw it through. And I think, you know, I'll be critical of myself here with Emma King. I think she's been absolutely phenomenal, specifically against the D's and then now against Crows. That tackle against Allen in the last, I think, 40 seconds and the absolute, like, echoing ball that ran through Icon Park and then you kind of hear the whistle after a bit of time and the cheer will kind of forever be etched on my heart. And irrespective of what happens next week, I just think that was such a special moment and such a clutch moment in the game that, I feel so overwhelmingly in gratitude of what they've been able to do. And you're right, it was just a very complete performance. I think, you know, Mia King played a role, Riddell, Garner, Randall, Shearlaw dropped back at times and helped out defence. Our defence, again, quite stingy with their scoring and being able to be one unit. Sarah Wright taking some amazing intercept marks. Gatton, Eric O'Shea, they're running the carry. I think Tess Craven had a really great game on the wing. She held her width and her line and created some really great space with Carney to transition the ball. So, look, an amazing game. Amazing. You know, it just was. And you're right. Adelaide, you know, there was a Year 8 boy who came up to me today. He's a massive Crows supporter and, you know, he came up and shook my hand and I said, "Mate, you've won 3 flags. We're just happy to be in the grand final." But we both agreed it could have gone either way and both teams are just such a talented group. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, just indescribable at the moment. Just really, really good feels. Very, very happy times here at Arden Street.
Yeah, I mean, we texted each other a fair bit in the game. We can't take anything away from the Crows, who finished on top of the ladder and had the game on their terms for a fair chunk of the game. I mean, this is a great win against the quality opponent, Claire. I mean, we've talked about Hatchard, Marinoff and how good they are, but, you know, Daniel Poynter stepped up to kick 3 goals. He's a good player.
Yeah.
Has been for a while. I mean, it really looks like we have belief after the Melbourne game now that we have that monkey off our back. and we can beat the top teams, because I don't think we win this game a month ago if we played them then, Claire.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that mental barrier, like I said, the Melbourne game wasn't just a huge win in regards to, you know, 41 points and it being a final. It was bigger in the sense that the mental barrier in which it had been broken down, and now I think the culture of the club is the belief now. And I think, again, that type of energy crosses over and transitions to the next week. And instead of those 3 minutes where you kind of lose a bit of face and you go a bit defensive, North was still willing to attack. And, you know, they didn't go defensive. They looked offensively. And you could tell, even the stoppages and the clearances and their work around the ball, there was just such intense pressure. And I think the one thing that I've learned about the Crows, and they just find a way. Like, you know, that's why I was surprised they didn't win, because I always felt like the Crows had the better of us in contested, especially in the second and the third quarter for large periods of time. I felt that at the stoppages, Crows were just all over us. They just found the quick exits out. They found the transition. They found the short kick. And they just knew what to do. And I think playing a team of that high level will actually hold us in really good form going into the grand final. And that's not to take anything away from Brisbane or Geelong. But when I watched that game, it was a lot more scrum-like, and it was a lot more, it just didn't feel as tactical or strategic as the North Melbourne and the Crows game. So I wonder what that type of game plan or that type of, I don't even know, I can't say strategy, I guess. But yeah, I wonder whether playing the Crows in a prelim is going to do us favours playing in a grand final next week.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty similar, them and the Lions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's too much difference. But yeah, I think, you know, playing at home obviously makes a big difference at Icon Park. Yeah, you know, I think the home ground advantage definitely played its part. Yeah, well, I think we got the rub of the green early in the first quarter, which, you know, playing at home, it generally does tend to happen. And we got a few, you know, I think Kate Shillaw got probably a 50-50 free kick that was a goal.
I mean,
it's probably there, but, and the umpire was about 60 metres away, the one that paid it, whereas the one right in front of him didn't pay it. So, yeah, sometimes just having that home ground advantage, can make a big difference. I thought the back line, and I know we love Sarah Wright, but her, Fergie, Jasmine Ferguson, I reckon, yeah, even when the heat was on, she's probably got a resting heart rate of 40 beats per minute. She just looked cool and calm.
Yeah.
It was great crazy leader.
She is. You go.
No, you go.
Ended up, I was, one of my very silly superstitions is once I've planted my feet in a spot and we're up, I can't move from that spot. Like, it's very it's very bizarre, but, you know, just lean into whatever you think works. And I noticed that in between quarters, a family was moving between one end to another end, and I finally figured out it was Jazz Ferguson's family and dad. And yeah, and it was just really nice, and we had a bit of a yarn, and I think I got into chat with her brother a little bit, and I just sort of said, you know, I can't believe she's like 24 or something. She's like, that's Jazz. It's always has been. She's such a competitive person. Like, she was always going to be successful in whatever sport she chose to do. And yeah, you're right. I think she lost a one-on-one in the goal square, but it was the hardest way. It fell into this woman's lap. Like, it was just such a hard. That was the only thing that she lost for the day. And look, 9 times out of 10, you say to her, or 10 times out of 10, you back Ferg in, because she's just so solid in defence. So yeah, she was just amazing. She was really, her and I think Wright are just brick walls down there. They're just so good at what they do. And I think to add to what you said about the Shearlaw 50-50, I think that little dinky kick that went to, I think, Ponta at the top of square, if that was more than 10 metres or 15 metres, I'll go here for Tiggy, because that was the shortest.
Yeah,
it wasn't long, man. Oh, it was tiny. It reminded me of when, you know, Adelaide supporters have been on Twitter saying, you know, Vic Bias. I'm like, did you guys actually watch the game where you got a 75-metre penalty to goal? Like, did you watch that, or was that just me?
Yeah.
Like, you know, well, Talia Randall having her head chopped off in the last 5 seconds going inside 50. So Look, it comes and goes, the rub of the green, and I just think, yeah, it's two competitive beasts going at it, and one being on the right side of the ledger at the final siren, and finally it's us, which is a very nice feeling.
Yeah, and it's you got Bresnahan coming back in as being very handy. Emma Carney's playing career best football probably the last couple of weeks. Eliza Shannon's really stood up, like all year. She was in and out of Hawthorn side, and she probably kept a couple of players out, like a Hannah Bowie, and you know, a number of others. So yeah, she's really stepped up and made that halfback line her own. I wouldn't recommend probably kicking across goals in the back pocket again.
Oh, my God. The heart attack.
That gave me a heart attack. But
do you know what the funny thing was, though? I reckon 30 seconds before that, I said to my dad, I'm like, you know what? Emma Carney kicking to Sheila or Kim Rennie on the, you know, the 50-metre mark, it's not working. So maybe they should actually try something different. And then they do, and poor Lulu Puller just got absolutely hammered in the contest against.
Oh, she did well to make the contest.
Oh, she did so well to get to Chelsea Randall. But I thought, oh my God, I can't believe they've tried to execute this with like 8 minutes on the clock or something. But look, just on that, I think the one thing that I would tweak next week, just because you may as well send a bloody smoke signal, I think North have to figure out. I mean, there were some parts that they did very well with their transition, and they were quick, and they had that little exit 20-metre kick into the pocket and a lot of space to work with. But other times when it was really stagnant, kicking to a Kim Rennie and a Shearlaw is fine if you can win at the stoppage, or you can at least get a 50-50 at the stoppage. Yeah. I just felt there was too many times, I think, in maybe the second or the third quarter, we looked to bomb and it was just not working. So having a plan B or C, I think, will be really important going into the grand final next week.
Yeah, I thought that, they're a very good team in the air, the Crows. Very different from Melbourne. Yeah, we tried to play a similar way to the Melbourne game and, probably didn't work. We just didn't bring the ball to ground often enough. It was probably a lot of one-on-twos, one-on-threes. We were trying to kick to Randall and she had players surrounded by her. So, we just got to find a way to bring that ball to ground. I think we played to our strengths. It seemed to work against Melbourne. And, the Crows did turn it over a few times too, which sort of helped us. But, like I sort of said earlier, I think both teams weren't at their best, but it was just a classic finals game. I thought the midfield... Yeah, we talked about the midfield. They did get beaten at the stoppages there for a couple of quarters, but I thought we finished off quite well in the last quarter. And I think the week off helped because we looked back here in the last quarter. And even though we didn't kick a goal, we did enough to get four behinds and play the game in our forward half when it mattered, Claire. So, we did get outscored one goal to four behinds, but the four behinds were still important.
Yeah, I agree. I think they finished strong. They finished hard. They finished with the team that had a bit of a break and a bit of fresh legs and a bit of juice at three-quarter time. I think Adelaide are a formidable midfield with Hatchard and Ebony Marinoff. I think there were times where Amy Smith was going to Ebony Marinoff and trying to curtail her. Not so much how many disposals she got, but I think the quality. It was an important performance by me. I think Mia King had a really great game in the tackles. I forget how many she had, but it just felt like she was always tackling someone whenever I saw her. Bruton, probably best game of the season. Again, if she plays in any other midfield, she probably is the number one mid there. It's just that she gets overshadowed by Jasmine Garner and Ash Riddell. And it's one of those string quartets of an orchestra, is that they all kind of keep on playing well together and they all kind of bring out the best in each other and, they pull each other up. And even one of my favourite moments, I think you filmed it and you put it on Instagram, and is when Tess Craven, she waits and she waits and she waits and then Jazzy pops up. And it's just, to me, the fact that Tess Craven is 19 and can do that is insane. That is a 19-year-old that is popping up a ball and just waiting and having the class and the composure to understand, to read the game, to know the moment, to soak it up and to do the right thing. And I just thought, how smart is this woman? Again, that having the wing and, again, the part of the midfield, the wings of Gat and Tess Craven and sometimes Lula Puller, and then I see Sheila on the wing for the last 3 minutes of the first quarter, just to plug the gap and go back and help out the girls. And I just think it's such a smart, not only are they talented, but it's such a smart midfield that all work together to bring out the best in each other. And I think, you know, in periods of the game where I thought that we were losing the stoppages and clearances, it didn't hurt us as much as I thought it would, because there was still one or two players that were winning their contests or winning their one-on-ones. So, yeah, I just don't have enough words to describe how much I love the North women's midfield. It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think her skills have improved out of sight, Tess Grave, and she can really, you know, kick a football.
Yeah.
Her running patterns on a wing have improved a lot too. She was a good link up out of the defensive 50 with Emma Carney there a number of occasions. So yeah, she's going to be a very good player, very good player. Her and Bella Eddy, you know, when you talk about, you know, I think Bella Eddy's 21. Yeah. She's almost already played 50 games, and Tess Craven's played 21. She's only 19. Yeah, they're a big part of our future. So, yeah, they're players you can get excited about. A lot of class. Yeah, the forward line, and, you know, Randall is proven to be a real weapon. Her one-on-one stuff is, Wayne Carey-esque in the 1990s. Didn't keep going to last, but took some big marks. And still got a score that was enough. But I thought O'Loughlin was outstanding in the year in particular.
Yeah.
Claire. She was really good one-on-one. She all created a presence. Emma King, 6 tackles inside 50.
Yeah.
That's huge for a big girl, you know, a big tall girl like herself. And the all-important one at the end, Jenna Bruton, playing the high half forward is something I love, because she has class and zip there and can be used as an extra midfielder as well. Jasmine Garner with the clutch finish in the second quarter and had 6 scoring roles for the game. Very, very crucial, like always. I thought her better half was, best on ground, Claire. 28 touches, 4 scoring involvements, 4 intercepts, 7 tackles, 414 metres gained. And I think you even tweeted her statistics in the third quarter when the game was sort of looking, might get away from us a bit. She really stood up, didn't she?
Yeah, she found another level. It's incredible. And again, it speaks to the volume of how, balanced this team is that you find another gear to go to. And we all knew that she probably had more gears to reach up to, but the fact that she can do that and absorb and take that pressure and understand the moment and put in a really hard 15 to 20 minutes of work is just amazing. I think that's what makes me so in awe of this team, is that there's so many roles that they can play. Like Tess Craven, when you think about it, they actually draft it. I mean, she does play the wing, but she is also a half forward and a pocket, and she's playing a wing. Like, she's got the skills and the talent to do something different and know her role and play her role. Erica O'Shea was playing Gaelic a minute ago, but still is an incredible, incredible halfback player. Taylor Gatt's still a kid. This is her second season of football. Good. Oh, that's what I mean. It's the fact that all members of this team can go to another level and play a different role. Like, they're very three-dimensional, four-dimensional players. If you ask them to do something, they can do it. You know, Carney is a pure mid, but she's playing half back. She's an architect, as my dad likes to say. She's the architect of the half back line. She absolutely draws the play, and everyone, she's the general setting everything up. So I just think that Jenna Bruton, it was always in her, and I love that I'm seeing more accolades on her behalf, because I think, you know, whilst it's nice to win games of footy, I imagine it sometimes might be a bit hard to stand in the shadow of your partner. And I think,
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, imagine being an elite footballer and being like, oh, but not as great as, you know, the partner. But yeah, I think she's incredible. She's an amazing athlete. And, you know, there is a worry, Dean, that her and Riddell might pinch a couple of votes off our girl Jammin tonight. So something to be concerned about.
Yeah, I think Riddell might.
Riddell and Bruton, I reckon, could seriously pinch, and Mia King could pinch some votes off Jasmine Garner, which I'm a little concerned about. But we've also made a grand final, so you take what you can get, don't you?
No, that's it. Anything else is a bonus, really. It's more us that are concerned about, you know, Jasmine Garner winning it rather than she actually cares about it. She's going to be in the All Australian team, probably All Australian captain again. She doesn't care about the accolades. I remember interviewing her the first time, and she goes, "Yeah, I don't really look back." Yeah, you know, I said, "Yeah, we won three best and fairest and whatever and all that sort of thing." And she says, "Yeah, I don't really look at that sort of stuff. I might look at it when I retire," which is a long way away, thank God. So yeah, just on that, she re-signed till 2027 during the week. I mean, there would have been teams probably next year offering her top dollar for the next 3 or 4 years. I mean, it just shows the loyalty of the girl, doesn't it?
Absolutely. There's no doubt she's the hottest property in AFLW at the moment. And I have no doubt if she could name her price at any club. But, yeah, the loyalty that she's shown is, again, second to none. I think watching the video with her and Kane signing together is just really special, really lovely. It goes to the core of the club and the community that they've built, and you just know she's the type of player that would have just sort of, you know, been like, "Oh yeah, here's my pay packet, don't worry about it, let's just move on." Like, it would have signed a blank piece of paper with probably no money on it, because she's just so dedicated to the football club. So yeah, I've got a couple of re-signings for the week. I saw that Mia King re-signed again as well, which is exciting.
2026,
so you're keeping those really good core lists of the players together, which I think is really important. But yeah, it goes to show the club culture and why, you know, I guess why it's such a special place and why you should sign on for that period of time. So pretty incredible stuff.
Yeah, I messaged Sarah Wright to say, "Are you going to sign until 2028? And she signed until next year. So, yeah,
okay.
She's sort of see what happens after that. But we signed Jasmine Ferguson in 2025 as well.
Right.
So, yeah, we're certainly re-signing a lot of players. Erica O'Shea's until 2025. So we're starting to do that, which is a good bit of news. And I guess the bonus for next year will be when we get Vicky Wall back as well.
Yes.
She looked like a very, very good half forward in the Cameron Zerha type, you know, just a bull that runs through opponents. So, yeah, a lot to like, even, you know, not just making a grand final this year, but I think there's a period of sustained success coming at this football club, and we could easily win 2 or 3 flags in the next 5 years.
Like, well, that's it. It's sort of a legacy now, isn't it? It's this idea of, like, you know, I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to get too ahead of myself. But, yeah, locking away generational talent and making sure that they feel comfortable and welcomed and valued at the club, I think is a credit to the coaching staff. It's a credit to the performance teams. And I think, you know, there was an article written post-prelim final around, you know, Sonia Hood and Jen Watt and the type of culture that they've created at North. And I think before they got to the club, there was Laura Kane as well, who was part of Melbourne Uni and then part of North Melbourne Women. So I think where there is a strong, visible and authentic representation of women in a meaningful way, you see other women wanting to be a part of that and feel valued as well. So, really special for the club, and it makes me really proud to be a member of, you know, the men's and the women's teams.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. There's one player that, she's not getting so much bash, but there's question marks. Is Amy Smith. There seems to be, I don't know, am I missing something with her? Because some people seem to be sort of saying that she maybe should get dropped for this week. But I think she's been quite good. She's playing a lot more midfield time and playing a little bit of a run-with role, particularly at stoppages, trying to nullify, you know, the opposition's best, you know, midfielder, like a Hanks or, you know, or a Marinoff or something, or whoever's in there, to, you know, nullify them, where we can just use the Jasmine Garner. She's sort of taken one for the team in an indirect way.
Yeah, I think it's important. And look, I've only watched the replay once, so I haven't seen all of the game in its full scale yet, and I was at the actual game. So I saw parts of what Amy Smith was trying to do. And again, I know Marinoff had a big game in terms of possessions-wise, but it's the quality of her possessions, not so much the quantity. So her run-with role was vital for North. And it's less about her stats and her champion data as opposed to what she's nullifying and what she's doing and the role she's specifically playing for the team. I think the flip side of that is people can understand the value of a Tripodi. She's young, she's exciting, she's fresh, she can play forward, she can do midfield minutes. Like we said, she's classic North Melbourne. She can play a whole bunch of roles. So I do see the strength of that argument. I can validly, you know, I understand where they're coming from, but I just would be very careful trying to change a winning formula. Like, if anything, the only position I'm looking at is the Niamh Kelly position, because I'm a big Ali Gavalis fan and I would love to see Ali Gavalis play in a grand final. But, you know, do you change a winning formula? And also, Niamh Kelly's parents are all the way from Ireland. Are you really going to tell them that she's not playing in a grand final next week? So, yeah, what about you? How do you feel about the whole thing?
No, I can tell you now, there won't be any changes to the team this week, unless there's an injury that we don't know about, but that's highly unlikely. It's Niamh Martin as well, isn't it? So,
yeah,
you're calling her Niamh
Kelly. Oh, was I? Oh, my God. I still can't let go of Niamh Martin kicking that goal against us. So now I'm so sorry, Niamh Kelly. Niamh Kelly. Is yes, I apologize. I'm very excited for her, and I apologize, Niamh Martin. But yeah, I think you're right. I do think,
there won't be changes.
You don't reckon? No changes?
She's okay because she's actually quite quick along the ground. She'll put a little bit of pressure on her halfback flanks. She's very different to Ali Gavalis. Unfortunately, she's going to miss out. Gavalis. She's actually got a bit of pace. She's not getting the stats. She only got three, I think, on the weekend. But, she does cover the ground quite quick. She does have a lot of zip. Mm. And, yeah, I think she'll keep a spot in the team. You know. They did say she was injured on the AFL app, but I don't know how serious that injury is. So.
Do you think it's when she collected in that initial... because she finished off the game fine.
Yeah, no, I think she's fine.
Okay, that's good.
No, there won't be any changes to the team. I can tell you that now. So anyone that wants Amy Smith out or anything like that, or wants Ruby Tripodi in or anything like that,
are you a little gutted for someone like Gavalis though?
Yeah, you are. I mean, she's been at the club since it first started, and she's sort of slowly been phased out. And it's not her fault. It's just sometimes it's about players that are who are available rather than who aren't available. We don't have any injuries at the moment, unless you count, you know, Zoe Savarian, who's done her ACL, been out for the year anyway. We've got a full list to pick from. And, I can sort of see why they've gone Niamh Martin ahead of her, because she does have a little bit more zip. And puts the pressure on a little bit more than an Ali Gavalis does.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. And she's been at the club since it's first formed, and slowly she started in midfield and was a very good midfielder there for a period of years. But when you get Garner, Riddell, and all that, she had to find a new role, and she was quite solid as a half forward there for a number of years. And she'll be a fringe player probably next year as well. They might be in and out of the team depending on injuries. That's unfortunate. There's going to be a few players miss out, and I guess what does this do to players like Charlie Granville, Sophia McCarthy, who are promising young players, but they can't just sit around for the next year or two waiting for the opportunity. They're probably going to have to look for other clubs, aren't they, really?
Yeah, I think that's the reality. That is unfortunately the double edge of the sword. Is I really have a soft spot for Charlie Granville. I think her debut.
I think she's a very good player.
Yeah, but I can't, you know, Sheila is the oldest of that forward line. But even then, I'd say she has minimum 2 years left.
Yeah.
And so that's a long time in AFLW years to wait around and establish your career. The good thing for these women is that I think there are clubs in Melbourne-based clubs, if they don't want to move, that would be dying for their attributes that they would really enjoy. Like, I could easily see a Charlie Granville slotting into a Carlton, a Collingwood. I mean, you look at it, Grace Campbell, who used to play for us, and she slotted in really well at Collingwood. So, you know, I'm happy. I don't have any bitterness around, especially I love, you know, Aileen Gilroy and Daria Bannister and Cashy and Daisy Bateman as well. You think about those foundation players, you think about the first couple of seasons at the club, even Kate Gillespie-Jones and Sophie Abitangelo and Danielle Hardman and you know, all these characters of the club that have been on a journey. And I think of Ali Gavalis and my heart breaks a little bit because I think that, you know, you're right, she's probably not in the best starting lineup, but God, my heart does twinge at that. And if she needs to move on, because she's not old, Ali Gavalis, like she's what? Let me have a quick Google here.
I reckon she's about 28. So I mean, still some good football.
Yeah,
in her.
Yeah.
Whether she wants to, you know, go to a club and, you know, become a first teamer, or she wants to stick it out and fight for a place, is going to be interesting. I've got 27 years old, so she'll be 28 at the start of next year, next season, like around March or something like that. So, fairly young.
Yeah, looking absolutely fingers crossed, and obviously touching all the wood. But you know, it was a very terrific, like, you know, it's been a great season for us in terms of injury as well. So it's important to have depth. Yeah. You know, like it is important to have depth up your sleeve. So I really feel for those players. It reminds me of who was it? Jason who was it in the 99 or was it the 96 game and he got rubbed out for the match?
Jason McCartney.
Yeah, Jason McCartney. Yeah, I know, it's different circumstances.
99, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, and different circumstances obviously, but you know, that just sits with you. That sort of stuff just stays in your stomach for a while. Anyway, yeah.
So we've only used 24 players for the season. So, yeah, I mean, we basically made three changes to the team all year. It is what it is. Now, we face the Lions, who will be missing Dakota Davidson this week. The knee injury, it looks serious at the time. She couldn't put any weight on it. I doubt she plays, but they beat us last time without her. So, it's going to be another close game, I think, Claire.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be a huge game. I have just utmost respect for Brisbane Lions. They've lost 4 premiership. Well, Lulu Puller didn't play in the team, but she was pretty important to them last season. But they lost Bates, they lost Wardlaw, they lost Greta Bodie. So pretty high-end talent there. And they've still made a grand final. And they dropped games against Richmond, Collingwood, and St Kilda, the most bizarre games in the world. Such odd, because they dropped their game against Richmond the first round as well, home ground. Yeah, it was just bizarre. But, you know, they find a way. They find another level. I think it's led by the Sparks and Ali Anderson and Aura O'Dwyer, and I think she's quite good. I quite like, what's her name? She's great back. Brianna Conan, the captain. She's amazing. Mm. And yeah, it's a formidable team. Makes me nervous watching them. But at the same time, I think that we're also a very good team. And the belief that is in there at the moment, I think, is sky high. So I don't know. It always makes me nervous. I work on this weird superstition that because Brisbane lost the grand final, the men's and the women's, that they're almost owed a grand final win in some weird karmic energy. And I honestly don't hope that happens. But at the same time, that's just how my mind works at the moment. How are you feeling about Brisbane as a lining up against us?
Yeah, I mean, confident that if we play near our best or at our best and have a couple of good spells in the game where we can, you know, we can take advantage, because it's going to ebb and flow. And if we can take it, you know, like I thought, the times we, you know, were on top against the Crows, we probably didn't take the advantage enough. It's particularly last quarter, I mean, 4 behinds. There are probably, you know, a couple, you know, 3 probably, you know, set shots that we probably really should have kicked. I think Tali Randall had a couple, and even Jenna Bruton, I thought she was going to kick hers as well, but because she's such a good kick, but just pulled it a little bit. So, yeah, if we can just take our chances a bit better, yeah, might be able to breathe easier and get a bit of a lead. But I'm confident because, yeah, of our back line as well. I think it's very stingy and very hard to score against. Yeah, even if Davidson plays, I don't think she's going to be anywhere near fully fit.
Yeah.
I think she's got a serious injury, to be honest with you. They're going to try and give her every chance. But if she's going to play half fit, then there's no point playing her, to be honest with you. But
it's a real big call by Starcevic because she adds so much, though, I think, mentally and physically in that forward line. Like, I think she does wonders for the good vibes and putting the pressure
energy.
Of that.
Yeah, the
energy. Yeah, the energy she gives that forward line and the pressures that she applies so that other forwards like Hodder can chip in. I'll be very fascinated. It's a bit of a conundrum for Starcevic to figure that one out just because, it's, I don't know. Yeah, it's a hard call. I wouldn't want to be making it just quietly.
Yeah, she's one of my favourite players to watch from an opposition point of view because I like the energy she brings. She gets in the face of the opposition, which I really like. I like Emma Carney, how she does it, because you need those types of players, those unsociable types.
Yeah.
Because it can bring energy and bring the right vibe to the group.
Yeah.
You can't always have sociable and friendly players. Like, I mean, I wouldn't expect like a Harry Sheezel to play that way or anything like that. But you kind of need those those unsociable players that make
I
a big difference. Yeah.
I do too, and I think it almost adds more authenticity to the game because it brings a different – it was sort of like, when Daisy Pierce made that comment about the Mazdas and that and sort of stuff. It's like, the gloves are off. This is a competition we want to win. We it's not all hugs and rainbows after the game and we're not clapping opposition goals. We're here to win. We're here to win a football game and we're here to support our team. And I think having a Dakota Davidson in your forward line, wrangling – her and Talia Randall have – like different ways of how they go about it, but they have the same type of energy. I will run through you. I will be a presence in this forward line. You will know about me. So that's important because key forwards have to bring that. They have to establish themselves. Good key forwards of any good team who make finals have that sort of presence in the game. So look, on a level of enjoying the game, I hope she plays on a, as a North Melbourne supporter, I hope she doesn't.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. No, look, I want to see the best players out there, and it wouldn't bother me if she does play. I mean, I still think we can beat them with or without her. So, I like seeing good players play. So, it would be a bit of a shame if she couldn't get up.
Yeah.
I think her and her alone, she pretty much broke Melbourne down.
Yeah.
She mentally got in their head, and they hadn't been the same since that round 10 game. They capitulated and completely lost confidence. So, I'm grateful for her doing that anyway to that club. So, it's really good. Now, we have the AFLW Awards tonight, Claire. Now, it would be nice to get Garner finally the Brownlow she deserves tonight. I'll call it a Brownlow because that's what it basically is. I know she doesn't care, but we all care, don't we? That she hopefully does get it.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'm not going to go out and say I've got some matches and some lighter fluid or a pitchfork, but it would be a pretty big travesty for her not to win one. And I say that knowing full well that, we spoke off air. Jazzy probably couldn't care less about this. She's on the waters. She knows what she's got to do in a couple of days' time. But I think when we look back at AFLW and you've got records etched into the history book, it's important to note her, I would say last three seasons and then this season have been the best in the league. And I think that needs to be written into the history books. And, I hope that she receives it. I know she's got coaches awards. I know how internally as a club she's valued, but it would be really, really validating, I guess, not even just on behalf of herself, but of her teammates and of the club and then the club supporters to see her have that around her neck. I think would be very, very, very special. So we're not saying we'd riot, but we might if she doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, Like I think we talked about off air, that the only way she probably does lose it, and you probably mentioned this on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, that you're probably thinking Ash Riddell probably steals a few votes from her. And that's fair enough. Ash Riddell had a career year and had the most possessions in a single AFLW season this year as well. I think Garner was only 20 behind her, though. So, yeah, no, they've both been fantastic. It's a bit of a shame that Ash Riddell doesn't sort of get the kudos, because she is in the midfield with Jase Garner. But, they're very selfless characters, both of them. So, yeah, no, that's how it goes. Well, Claire, we might go and watch the AFLW Awards while it's on now. Any messages for the supporters out there?
Look, you and I, Dean, started this podcast a while ago now, and like you said, to reflect on it, you thought we're in a bit of a rebuilding, and I was like, nah, we got this, it'll be fine. And I've said it once and I've said it before, and I've wavered in and out, I'll be honest. But it is flag ruse. I've never felt more galvanized and more secure and more, I guess, entrenched in this idea that we can do it. I think Brisbane are a wonderful team, and I'm certainly sure they'll bring a lot of heat and a lot of pressure on Sunday. But, you know, how special if we're able to get this, and how special for the club. And I hope that, I know it's a sellout game, which is great, but flick on the TV, listen to all the podcasts, get around these girls, you know, understand the value that they bring to our football club, and how special this moment is on time. And hopefully I'll see you at the end of the game with several beers in my hands, ready to cry, ready to laugh, and ready to sing Hearts to Hearts a million times over, Dean. I can't wait.
Yeah, definitely. No, you've got to have a vision. All the great entrepreneurs always say you've got to have a vision. So this is our vision. And, that's what we're thinking about at the moment. And it's a bit of a torturous week, waiting all week for it. But, yeah, at least it's not 3:05. It's 2:30 on a Sunday. So, yeah, get beyond the girls if you can. There might be tickets still go out on Friday, they said. So, yeah, look out for that if you can. Get a ticket, try and get down and support the girls. If not, get a membership for next year, because there's a fair chance they'll probably have another crack at it next year as well. So, and you'll definitely get to a grand final. But anyways, Claire, let's go watch these AFLW awards. Let's watch Jasmine Garner win a Brownlow.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then let's watch a flag together.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. Well, thanks so much for coming on. I'm sure we'll chat. We'll probably see each other on a Sunday or something like that. And hopefully the girls have got a premiership medallion around their neck.
Absolutely. I'll see you there, Dean. Thanks very much for your time today. And as always, flag ruse, baby.
So thank you very much to Claire once again for coming on. You could sort of see how much this means to her. And one of the great things about, when I started this podcast is the relationships I've been able to build with supporters. And, me and Claire, we've only met once or twice, I think so. But, we've built a really good friendship through the AFLW program. And, I'm always forever grateful chatting to her and talking to her. I'm forever grateful for the relationships I've built through this podcast. So, yeah, with the boys, girls, whoever it is, Jesse, Frank, Mark, Siobhan Rowe, Marty Cohen, you can name it all. Ricky, Ravishing Ricky Mangides, it's been a pleasure. And we're a small, tight supporter group, but we're very special, and it's a very special club. And that's it. And thank you very much to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all put out for the show. It's much appreciated. And I couldn't do this podcast without your support. So thank you very much once again. One more game to go. So let's make it happen and get that grand final victory. I'll be back later in the week. I'm trying to organise an overdue catch-up with Further North, Josh Neal. So, I'll definitely try and get that going around Thursday. I'll sort of see how we'll go with the rest of the week. Obviously, I'm a very busy person during the weeknights with, lots of things going on. So, I'll try and get one or two more podcasts out for you this week. So, that's it for tonight. Tonight, I will leave a shout-out to, hopefully, our AFLW Brownlow medal winner in Jasmine Garner. So, bye for now, and go Roos.